standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go. While our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light. For the right we ne'er can fail. Pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. Battle's done and the victory's won. Before thy face, rouse and soar. The word along, onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Good to see you tonight. Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer. Father, we ask you to help the folks still getting here to get here safely. I pray, Lord, that you just meet with us here tonight, be with our loved ones that are homesick, and those who are on vacation out of town, keep them safe as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, shall we gather at the river? Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod with its crystal tide forever holding by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river, at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the bosom of the river, where the Savior King we own, we shall meet in sorrow never. Saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Gather at the river, the beautiful, the beautiful.
Taylor mentioned Tim and his family are down in Mexico on a mission trip, right?
Yes.
So pray for, keep them in prayer. Also, we mentioned this the other night. is for tonight. Tomorrow night, soul winnings at 6:45. Friday night youth activity. Now, again, adults, if you want to come and bring, if you've got kids that are big enough to participate, you're welcome to come. We're going to be doing what we call water balloon volleyball. And we have people that, what I do now, they make it easy nowadays. Used to, I spent like 2 hours or 3 hours at the water faucet filling up water balloons. Now you can go to HEB and you can buy this little thing that you just screw right onto the faucet. You turn the faucet on, it fills up, I don't remember how many it is, but like 20 or 30 or 40 water balloons. And when they get full, they just drop off into the tub. And so I bought some of those. So I'm doing it the easy way instead of the old fashioned way. But we use sheets and towels. And what happens is you have to serve the water balloon across the net. If it doesn't get across the net, you don't get a point. If the other team doesn't catch it, you do get a point if it busts on the other side. But if they catch it, they throw it back, and we throw water balloons back and forth. Instead of using volleyballs, we use water balloons. And again, they usually catch on pretty quick. Again, we'll do that Friday 6 to 7:30. And then bus visitation 9:30 Saturday morning. So winning at 10:45 Saturday afternoon, then back in your place for Sunday school and church. Now, next Sunday morning will be normal with Brother Nichols preaching. Sunday night, we're having the Commonwealth Baptist College group. It is a voice of praise. It's a ladies group. And then in the summer, on July 2nd, which is a month away, we will have a group that's coming in from Lone Star Baptist College. That's a group of guys. That's where Tatiana and Talia and some of our other kids have went to Bible college. So they're coming down. In relation to them, they're going to be at the youth rally on June the 30th and July the 1st at Texas Baptist. We're helping them host that. It's called the Great Escape. Since the group was coming down from Arlington, they decided to have them come down early, and they're going to have the group help do the preaching and run the games and contests and things. So that we'll have youth meetings Friday night at 6:45. Saturday starts at 10 o'clock, and there'll be a meal served on Saturday. But again, that is June the 30th and July the 1st. And then, as I said, July the 2nd, that's Sunday night. They're having them that Sunday morning at their church. And then Sunday night, Lone Star will be here singing for us, and that's a guys group with Brother Butler. And they'll be here on the weekend, the first weekend of July. So, again, don't forget to pray for our folks. We do have some folks traveling, some folks out of town. Also, Ms. Stephen said if there's anyone in here, I don't remember what kind of flower, and I'd already shut my phone off, so I didn't want to turn it back on. But she has some flowers, some of the flowers that some of you have been getting the pretty flowers from. She has some she needs to get rid of. And she doesn't want to just throw them away. So if you would like to get some flowers, I don't remember the type. I can turn it back on after church and tell you what type she said she had. But she has some that she would like to give away. She has too many. So if you'd like to get some flowers, I will give you Miss Stevens' information, and you can get some from her.
All right, one of my favorite songs. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to sing The Fight Is On.
Is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face it stood arrayed, with armor gleaming, colors streaming, right and wrong and caged today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong and in His might hold fast. If God before us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victory. Song at last. The Lord is leading unto certain victory. The bow upright spans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land that honored me. The Lord will break. The dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldier. And face to face in stood.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in church tonight. I pray that you be with Pastor Block and Pastor Nichols, Lord. I pray that you bless this offering and exceed the needs of our church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Well, I just want to praise the Lord that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And our God never changes, and the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. And that's what this song is about. I hope it's a blessing to you.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain, and you've got a peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you are never alone. And the God on the mountain it's still God in the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best.
He just doesn't carry it around. He actually can play that thing. Go in your Bibles to Jude. We're going to look at, it was either Brother Nichols or Brother Taylor. One of the fellows mentioned these verses a while back and talked about them for a minute or two, but I want to spend a little time on them tonight and try to get across a couple thoughts. I mentioned the Lone Star Baptist. They're from Mesquite. I don't know why I didn't. I had a different card from Arlington Trinity Baptist. And that was about a youth conference. That's why I got it mixed up. But again, it'll be Lone Star that'll be here for the event at Texas Baptist and also at our church on a Sunday night in July. Notice Jude, again, there's no chapter, so notice verse 22 and verse 23. Jude, verse 22 and verse 23. The Bible says, "And some have compassion," again, love, "making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Tonight I want to speak on this simple thought, one way or the other. Father, I ask you to give me the wisdom I need to get the thoughts across that you've given me, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help it to be a help and a blessing to somebody tonight. Lord, that we might realize that, again, people are motivated, some are motivated by the one, and others are motivated by the other, and I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize it's our responsibility to reach both crowds. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us with that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I was a 9-year-old boy when I got saved, and the reason I got saved was I was afraid of going to hell. I'm sure I knew about the love of God. I'm sure the preacher had preached about the love of God. So I'm one that got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Now, I want you to think tonight. You're either in one group or the other, probably, or maybe you're in the middle. But if you got saved because you found out about, for instance, if you've ever seen the little track, "Somebody Loves Me," that little boy got saved because he realized there was someone that loved him. So he got saved because of the love of Christ. He didn't, and the love of God. He didn't understand. He probably knew nothing about heaven and hell. He didn't realize what he was going to gain and what he was going to lose. He simply realized someone loves me. So he got saved because, and that's what the verse says. It says, "Some have compassion, making a difference." So some people get saved because of the love of God. So think about your salvation back when you got saved, whether you were saved as a young person or an adult. But when you got saved, did you get saved because you heard that God loved you and went to the cross, shed his blood and died for you, and that's why you got saved? Or did you get saved because the preacher preached and said, "If you don't get saved and get Christ in your heart, you're going to burn in hell"? So if you got saved because it mainly was about the love of Christ and his death on the cross and his shed blood, raise your hand. So let's see, that's part of the crowd. If you got saved because you didn't want to go to hell and the preacher preached, you wanted to miss hell. About 50-50. I wasn't sure if it'd be anywhere. I didn't know if it was being 90-10 and 70-30 or 60-40. It looks like it's about 50-50. But again, picture tonight, we have 10 people in this room. They're standing down in front of us. And of those 10 people, we want all 10 of them to get saved. Amen. Now, some of them, if we go by the crowd here tonight, if it was the same average, some of them are going to get saved learning about the love of God. and about Christ's death on the cross, about the fact that Jesus died, he left heaven, he came down and lived a perfect life, could have called 10,000 angels or legions of angels, but he hung on the cross and went through all the suffering and the torment and the torture that he went through because he loved us. It was love that held him to the cross. It wasn't the nails. And so some of those folks down front that we're talking to would get saved when we talked to them about Jesus, what Jesus did for them. Now others, again, of this crowd of 10 people, others, they appreciate the love of God, but the reason they get saved is because they don't want to die and burn in hell, because hell is a terrible, awful place, and they can't even imagine going and spending an eternity, not let alone a day or two, but an eternity in hell. So some will get saved because of one reason, some for the other. Now, when you think of that, I want to give you some simple thoughts tonight. You may have already thought of these. Maybe you hadn't. But I want to give you five simple thoughts. I'll read some verses. Times I'll have you turn. Other times I'll just read them. But notice, if you would, first, the first thought is this. Not all sinners are motivated to salvation the same way. And not all get saved for the same reason. He mentioned some get saved because of compassion. That makes a difference for them. And others get saved because they're afraid of hell. So keep in mind, not all sinners are motivated to salvation the same way. Some are moved or impressed with God's love. John 3:16, we often quote it, probably the most popular verse, the most well-known verse, even lost people and people out in the world know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, it talks about the love of God. When we think about that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love. Not that we love God, again, we didn't start this love process, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So some people would be motivated by the love of God. Some would realize, man, God loves me. And look what God did for me. He loved me so much. Here's what he did. Now, I preached a sermon 20, 30 years ago again, I have three sons and one daughter. I couldn't imagine giving up any of my children, but especially my one daughter. I mean, if I lost a boy, I still got two more. I mean, looking at it from a practical, not, I don't want to lose any of them. But the truth is, I only had one daughter. In this case, God only had one son. So it wasn't like he gave up one of many. He gave up the only one he had. And by the way, and that son wasn't forced to die on the cross. That son was willing to come to take off his robe and to take off his crown and to leave heaven's splendor. And by the way, the place where he was somebody and come down here, and the Bible says, again, he became like us. I mean, again, he took off that form of God and was made like you and I. Now, he wasn't a sinner like us. I've often told the teenagers, I'm sure Mary, when it came to the brothers of Jesus and Jesus, she had to treat him a little bit differently because he actually never did wrong. Right. His brothers could never come in and say, Jesus punched me, or Jesus lied to me, or Jesus, I mean, again, I can't imagine having a perfect child. Now, some of you children out here think you're perfect, but trust me, you are not. And some of you parents think you had perfect children, but again, you are wrong as well. I've had parents sit in my office and say, I know my child, they would never do that. Listen to me, there's nothing your child's not capable of. There's nothing that you or I are not capable of, because we are sinners. But again, some are motivated by love. Others, on the other hand, Revelation 20, this is the verse that Brother Nichols mentioned the other night, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Some are motivated by the fact that I want to miss hell. I don't want to go to hell when I die. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And again, people without Christ will die that second death and burn forever in hell. So again, I said, not all sinners are motivated to salvation the same way. That's the first truth. The second truth I want you to get is this. If we only use one method, many will die without Christ. If all I ever do is use the love method, then some of the folks are not going to get saved because they're not moved by the love method. If all I used was the hell method, scaring them with hell, then again, there'd be some people that I'd witness to that would get saved. There'd be others that would not. So again, if we only use one method. Now notice Mark chapter 16 in your Bible. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, notice verse 15, a command given to us. And notice what the command says. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if you and I only use the love method and get some people saved, but we exclude others, if we're over, you always use the hell method, and we don't use, I mean, there are going to be some people that we did not reach, and we did not fulfill the God's command to us was, take the gospel out to every creature. Get as many of them saved. I mean, try to get everybody saved. Now, when you think of that, it's the only way you and I can fulfill the Great Commission. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now notice he used every three times. What he's saying is, I want you to try to win all of them. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay? Now, Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. I don't know why Paul got saved. I don't know if Paul got saved because he was afraid of hell, or Paul got saved because he understood the love of God. Don't know, because he's not here. Maybe one day when I get there, I don't know if I'll remember to ask him. Maybe I'll have a better memory in heaven and I'll remember. But the truth is, you and I don't know what motivated Paul. I don't know what motivated some of the other men and women in the Bible. I don't know what motivated, I don't remember who raised their hand for which side. I don't know exactly what motivated you. I would think that little kids probably would be motivated by the love of Christ. But I watched, and a couple of those little kids raise their hand that they got saved so they'd miss hell. Truth is, I was only 9 years old, so I wasn't very old. It wasn't like I was thinking. I didn't understand a lot of the words and a lot of the things that happened to me the day I got saved. I didn't understand all that happened. I didn't understand all the benefits I got and all the things I missed. But the thing I didn't want to do was go to hell. I remember laying in bed at night, and I was afraid if I died, I had a hard time going to sleep as a little kid, because I was afraid if I died, I'd wake up in hell. So I was afraid to go to sleep. Now, understand, it didn't take me long to get saved. I didn't have to sit in dozens and dozens and dozens of church services, which is why I like it when we reach young people, because those kids get saved much easier than adults get saved and teens get saved. In children's church, when they preach the gospel, if there's a visitor there, 9 times out of 10, that visitor comes and sits on the front row the very first Sunday. Right. Now, again, I don't know what they're motivated by. I don't know what the preacher preached that day. I don't know whether it was, Jesus loved you, or if they preach, you better get saved or you're going to go to hell. But again, understand, the first thought is not all sinners are motivated to salvation the same way. The second thought is, if we only use one method, many will die without Christ. So the third thought is this: because you and I got saved from one of these, doesn't mean everybody does. Now, I told you I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Some of you didn't get saved for that reason. Some of you got saved because you understood the love of God. I mean, you thought, man, Jesus, look what Jesus did for me. Look what God gave up for me. I mean, and look at all that Jesus suffered for me. I mean, he loved me, and I never loved, he loved me before I loved him. Now, as a child of God, we love Jesus. Now, all of us love Jesus, but we didn't love him first. He loved us before we ever loved him. So again, because of that, again, I said, because of you and I getting saved one way, that doesn't mean everyone's going to get saved that way. The truth is, we could say, well, I think everybody gets saved for the same reason. Then you'd be denying Jude verse 22 and 23. And by the way, you'd be saying you're smarter than God and that God's wrong and you're right. So the truth is, not everybody gets saved the same exact way you got saved. Now, there are many of us, when we're out soul winning, we want people to do it exactly a certain way. Listen to me. You and I do not get to set the rules when it comes to salvation. I remember years ago when the young man told me, I led a fellow to the Lord and he didn't even know he got saved. That is a stupid statement, and by the way, not true. Nobody ever got saved that didn't know they got saved. What he meant was, I tricked him into praying the prayer. Now, what he did is, he wrote that he counted that person as a convert, and he was a convert. He was a convert to that fellow that did the talking. He was not a convert to Jesus Christ. Now, you and I's job is not to, I mean, your job and my job is not to get people to like us. Now, it'd be nice if they liked us, but that's not important. We're supposed to get out there. When we knock on doors, we're supposed to try to point people to Jesus. Some of them are motivated by love. Remember, they're going to get saved because of God's love. Some are going to be motivated by their fear of hell. So again, that brings me to my fourth thought. Again, because each of us lean toward one strongly, either I'm going to preach the devil out of them, I'm going to give them the fear of God, I'm going to scare their pants off, and that's what some people think. That's their train of thought. And that comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, which says, And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And again, they're going to go to hell. It also tells us in Matthew chapter 13, verse 42 and verse 50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, some of us, we try to scare people into getting saved. And some people get saved for that. Again, I was scared of going to hell. So I got saved because I was scared of dying and going to hell. I did know that Jesus died on the cross, but that, for some reason, that wasn't the main thought in my head that day. The main thought was, I do not want to go to hell. And when the preacher said, if you reject Christ, you're going to go to hell, that bothered me. I did not want to go there. And I didn't even know all the details of hell at that time. I didn't realize how terrible it really was. I had not been as close to a fire. Some of you have been burned. Some of you have burned a big pile of brush, or you've been around a house fire. When you get so close, you can't even get several feet from it. The fire is so fierce and so hot, you don't have to get close to the fire. You can't even get close to it because it's such a heat. Now, you and I cannot imagine the flames of hell. You and I cannot imagine the darkness. Now, again, I tell people all the time, hell has all the things you and I are afraid of. If you say you're not afraid of the darkness, you're a liar. You say, Brother Block, can you prove that? Yeah, come on out to the property. We'll put you out on the property without a flashlight, let you wander around for a little while, and then we'll wait to see if you call and say, hey, I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. Now, Kurt's really smart. I haven't figured this out yet. Kurt doesn't get lost on our property. I've got lost on the property because, again, back then, I don't think I had a cell phone anyway. But one time when I was out looking for one of the calves, I was wandering in the property. And again, until I find a fence or the creek or something, I have no idea. All the woods looks the same at night. I have lots of brush out there. There's 81 acres I was wandering around. Now, Kurt, when he gets lost, the day I shot a deer and it went off quite a ways, we didn't know which direction. We'd follow the blood trail, so we didn't really know where we was at on the property. Kurt pulls out his phone, punches up the satellite, and it shows we are right here. Then he shows, and it even shows where the trails are at. We have to go a little ways, and here's the trail that leads us back to the creek. Now, I don't know how to do that, so I would still be lost in the woods at night, but Kurt would not. Kurt can find his way back to the house. The time I got lost, you say, what did you do? I was so thankful for the rooster. I told you before, for the rooster that was stupid, because the pole light is on, he thinks the sun's coming up, so he crows half the night. I heard the rooster crow, and I followed the crow to the house, okay? And I thank God for that rooster. That's the only time I thank God for that rooster, but I thank God for the rooster because he got me back home. No, I didn't see the light. When I got closer, I could see the light. But again, I was in a bunch of trees and brush, and I'm not very tall. So again, I didn't like the darkness. None of us like falling. When you have a ride that's scary, you know what that ride usually entails? Some falling, some being turned upside down, some falling. Again, all of us are afraid of monsters, especially kids scared of monsters. Monsters in their closet, monsters under their bed. Some of you ladies have these big dolls, and when they sit in the chair, I remember kids saying, can you take that doll out of there, that doll? I think that doll's looking at me, and that doll scares me at night. Get that doll out of that chair. I have a clown picture that I got from one of my storage units, and I hate to throw it away because I always think maybe the guy might be famous and might be worth something. But I've tried to give that clown picture away to several people, and all of them say, I don't want that clown picture in my house. Clowns scare me. Now, understand, each of us lean toward one method or the other. Either we want to preach the devil out of them, we want to give them the fear of God, or we want to scare the pants off, or on the other hand, we want to love them to Jesus. 1 John 3:16, 4:7. Jude 1:21. We want to show them the Lamb of God. And by the way, either one of those is good. Either one is going to reach some people, not going to reach all the people. Again, if we had 10 people down here, you can scare the pants off of 5 of them and they'll get saved. You can teach the love of God to the other 5. They'll get saved. But keep in mind, we are not supposed to only reach 5 of them. We're supposed to take the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to reach all 10 of them. Now, there's no guarantee that you and I give them the salvation plan and they'll get saved. Not everybody gets saved. There are folks that have rejected Christ. Some of you know people. You have relatives or friends that have rejected Christ. I remember Mitchell, we prayed for his, it was your brother, right? We prayed for Mitchell's brother for years. And he prayed for him longer than we knew him. Now, to our knowledge, he didn't get saved. Now, understand, I have relatives. Many of my relatives are saved, but I have some relatives that are not saved. So have you. Probably have some workmates or some neighbors that are not saved. That doesn't mean we haven't witnessed to them. What it means is we talked to them, we gave them the gospel, and they turned it down. Now, again, understand, it is not our, we're not in the job of saving people. We're in the job of sowing the seed, sometimes watering the seed, and then many times we will see the increase. Some of you have had people that you led to the Lord that came to church and got baptized. Man, that's a blessing. Amen. But by the way, even if they never come to church, you say, Brother Block, what if they're not in church? Are they still saved? Some of you and I have knocked on doors of people that rode our bus and got saved as kids. They can still tell you about the day they got saved. They can still tell you, I got saved at your church and I got baptized. Now, we've had kids that get baptized that after we baptize them, I baptize them, they come back up and they say, that was fun. Can we do it again? I don't know if Brother Taylor's ever had any ask him that, but I've had some that wanted to do it again. And they wanted to know if they could get into that warm pool. Now, I guess the way that we could break them of that is have a cold pool. And then they, trust me, they would not want to get into it again. If you've ever stepped into the cold pool, and we can tell when the heater's not working. I mean, our waders, we're cold through the waders, and we got waders on. Right. We've had waders that leaked in the past, so not only could we feel the cold, but the water finally got in. We come back out with usually one side or the other soft and wet, a wet side of our pants and a wet sock to put back in our shoes. But the truth is, we have people that got saved 20 years ago that haven't been in church. I mean, since they rode the buses, they're adults now and have kids, but they can remember getting saved at Liberty Baptist Church. And the good news is, once they're saved, they're always saved. They can't lose it. Now, there are some of them that don't live like Christians. There are some of them that don't act like they're saved. Now, I'm not saying that every person that makes a profession gets saved, because that's not true. But I can tell you that many of them that make professions get saved. And they can tell you all about it, and they can tell you that that they meant it. There are folks, I remember years ago, we had a young man that got saved, and then his wife made a profession of faith in Christ. And later, when they was having some problems, she said, I didn't really get saved. I just said that to get all Liberty Baptist Church off my back and get you off my back, so I just told everybody I got saved, and I really didn't. She was well aware of the fact that she didn't get saved. Now, understand, we want to reach everybody, so in order to reach everybody, we have to do both. We have to be able to, so our salvation plan that we give out, we want to talk about the love of God. We also want to talk about where they're going to go if they don't get saved. Talk about hell. Go in your Bible to Matthew chapter 23. I just want to get the thought from this. It's not talking about the salvation here, but notice Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23 says this. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he tells what they do. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So here's what he said. You've been doing these things, and you haven't been doing these things. Now here's what he didn't say. Start doing these things and forget about that. That's not what he said. Here's what he said. Notice the rest of the verse. These ought ye to have done. He said, good job on doing those. I'm glad you tithe on those things. That's the right thing to do. But what he said is, notice what he says, these ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. What he said is, do both. I want you to tithe, and guess what? I also want you to do those other things. What was those other things? The matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. What he said is, I want you to do both. So listen to me, when you and I talk to folks, we want to make sure that we give out a gospel plan that shows the love of God. That's going to touch some, and also shows that if they get saved, they'll miss hell, because that's going to reach others. You say, Brother Block, what is a good plan for that? Well, I can tell you, if you use the Romans Road, it covers that. Especially if you throw in Revelation 21:8, which I always use when I get partway through Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. I then skip over to Revelation 21:8 and show them what that death is talking about. It is the second death, and that death is, it mentions that it's a lake of fire. And I would say, what do you think that lake of fire is? And they always go, hell? Yeah, what that means is, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Now, we already talked about the fact that, again, Jesus, and when you read the last part of 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, God gave us a gift. You know why he gave us that gift? Because he loved us. So again, we want to make sure that when we're witnessing somebody, that we, that unlike the Pharisees, we don't want to just do this and leave this undone. By the way, we don't want to do this and leave that undone. We want to, what he said is, I want you to do both of those things. That is the correct thing to do. Notice in your Bible in John chapter 8, and it brings me to my last point. Follow Christ's example. He was firm, but kind to sinners and lost ones. Now, he was often accused of spending time with sinners. He wasn't sinning, but he was spending time with sinners. He wasn't letting them affect him. They weren't rubbing off on him, but he was spending, what it means is he was out talking to folks. In John chapter 8, notice verse 10 and 11. John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, here's what happened. He said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Those thine accusers. Hath no man condemned thee? Now remember the story. These fellows had brought this woman that they had caught in adultery. And you've heard Brother Nicholas and preachers often say, it's amazing they brought the woman, but they didn't bring the man. It takes two to commit adultery. But being the Pharisees that they were, they brought the woman because, again, they were men, and they let men get, in their mind, boys will be boys. So they excused the boy part, but they treat her like she did something really terrible. And by the way, she did, but so did he. But they brought her, and if you remember, Jesus wrote on the ground. And then what he told the fellows was, let him who's without sin cast the first stone. Now, they was all hepped up a minute ago. They wanted to stone somebody. They were excited. They was going to have a stoning, okay? When he said that, the Bible says they left from the oldest to the youngest. What those older folks realize is, I've sinned a lot in my lifetime. I haven't just sinned a couple times. I've sinned every day, and I've lived a lot of days, so I've sinned a lot. They realize, I am nowhere close to being perfect, not even. Now, then down to the youngest ones. So the young ones hadn't sinned near as much as those old ones, but they were still sinners. Everyone left. Notice verse 11. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, if you ever notice Jesus' treatment for sinners, he treated them a lot nicer than he treated the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He did. He was a lot harder on fake religion and pious religion and folks who are full of pride, spiritual pride in people's lives, than he was on the sinners. Right. Notice in your Bible, John chapter 4. You in John chapter 8, go to John chapter 4. Notice verse 17 and 18. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. He said, Man, yeah, you're right. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. Now, he did point out that she was a sinner. He did, and again, she hadn't just had a divorce, she'd had five divorces. Well, maybe some deaths, but again, you wouldn't think that she'd had five deaths. And if she had five husbands that died, I wouldn't want to marry her because it means she might have a hand in that, all right? If the woman's lost five husbands and she's on the sixth one, I wouldn't want to be eating any of her food, drinking any of her protein drinks that she mixes up for me. I'd be a little leery of anything that she put a hand on, especially if I had a good insurance policy. I'd be just a little worried about that. But notice what he said in verse 18. He said, For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. Verse 27, when this came his, and upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. They were amazed that he even talked with this woman, this wicked woman, this woman from another tribe, a tribe that, typically the Jews didn't rub up against. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? They knew what he was doing. You know what he was doing? He was reaching the lost, which is what Jesus did every day. Now, sometimes he preached to multitudes. Sometimes he talked to Zacchaeus. Sometimes he preached to crowds of 5,000 or 15,000 or 20,000. Sometimes he dealt with the fellow lower through the roof, or dealt with the little children that they brought to him. Again, Jesus talked to small crowds, large crowds. Jesus just was trying to get the gospel to everybody he possibly could. The Bible said that we didn't have a lot of miracles and a lot of things that he did. Bible says he went around daily doing good. That's what he did. He woke up in the morning and started doing good. Late at night, he got tired. He finally, when he laid down to rest, he had finished up just doing some good. Sometimes he thought he was done, and he tried to get away from him. The crowd met him on the other side, and he moved with compassion to him and talked to him some more. always gave them parables because he wanted them to understand. What he didn't try to put it on the top shelf, make it where they couldn't grasp it. He always put it down, I mean, where they could understand it. He told parables, usually about farming or sporting events or things like that, that these folks all understood. He gave them earthly stories with heavenly meanings, and they grasped spiritual truths. Now again, each time that Jesus dealt with these sinners, he didn't call them a bunch of ugly names and call them. He didn't call that woman a whore. He didn't say, you're full of adult. I mean, he didn't. What he did was he cared about her and he loved her. Now understand, without Christ, they'd all went to hell. And I think he probably, in the conversation, he probably brought that up. He told that woman the one time, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me to give you water, because I could give you living water. Amen. But again, understand, follow Christ's example. Quit being so hard on sinners. Now, they have to understand they're a sinner, which is why we start with two verses. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, which says, none righteous, no, not one. Most of us stop then and we say, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, nobody's perfect. Righteous means perfect, nobody's perfect. There's only been one perfect person ever lived, and that was Jesus. And you and I are not Jesus. Then we usually go to a second verse, and that is Romans 3:23. And what does it say? Wow, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, we're short. You say, how short? It doesn't matter how short. I mean, you miss heaven by a half an inch, you miss heaven by 100 yards, you still missed heaven. So again, the very first thing we do is we start telling them they're sinners. Because, by the way, they need to know that they can't save themselves. They need to know that they're in trouble. And listen to me, every one of us at one time were like that too. We were in trouble. We were lost. Now, we don't leave them lost. We then usually go to either Romans 5:8 or 5:12. We'll go to Romans 6:23. And at 6:23, we talk about the wages of sin is death. We explain what wages is, especially if we're talking to kids. Now, adults know what wages are, but kids don't always know what wages is. We explain to them about wages. It's something that you've earned and you deserve. Now, until a child understands they're a sinner, they can't get saved. We call that the age of accountability. It varies with people. For instance, a young man like Douglas, he was, I think, in his teen years before he finally got saved, before he finally understood he was a sinner. Some people never reach that. I remember dealing with an autistic child. That autistic child, now, are autistic children ornery and mean and do, oh yeah, they do, we know they're sinners. But they don't always know they're sinners. Sometimes when we're dealing with the kids out back, we'll say, do you ever do anything bad? And they'll go, no. So you never fight with your brother, you never disobey. No. I mean, from their definition, we think we have some little Jesuses back there because, I mean, they're perfect. They have never done wrong. I mean, now their brother or sister sometimes will sit there and say, you have too. I mean, and their brother and sister try to convince them they're sinners. We don't try to convince them they're sinners. If they don't understand that they're sinners, they're still covered by, I mean, the grace of God. They're still going to be, they're going to get taken to heaven because again, not that they aren't sinners, but just like a baby. Now again, David's baby didn't get saved, but David's baby went to heaven because David's baby never grew up and reached the age of accountability. So David said, one of these days when I die, I'm going to go see, I'll see my baby again. Now understand, we want to follow Christ's example. We want to love folks to Christ. We want to make sure they also understand that in getting saved, they're going to miss the flames of hell. That's why I use Revelation. I'll do that first, Romans 6:23, the first line, then go to Revelation 21:8, then back, and I finish with, I always tell them, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but. And I always tell them, man, if you know what English is, you know, but is a connecting word. What it means is the thought is not finished, and that's good, because the first thing that verse said is, we're going to hell. And if we stop there, that means we're going to hell, and we're on a lot of trouble. The verse doesn't stop there. It goes on and says, but the gift of God, whew, there is eternal life. Again, not that eternal life, but that eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ. Now, again, almost everybody's heard of Jesus. Today in America, there are folks that don't know very much of the Bible. You'll actually find people sometimes that they might know about David and Goliath, that kind of thing, and Jonah and the whale, but some of them don't know anything about Jesus and his death on the cross and his perfect life and the fact that he came to save sinners. Some of them, they haven't been to church in their lives. Now, some of us, we were religious before we got saved. What I mean by that is we believed in God before we got saved. we hadn't been saved, but we believed in God. We believed there was a God. Some folks have no idea. They don't know anything about God. They didn't have parents like you and I had. They didn't live in the Bible Belt like I did, where, I mean, there's a church on every corner. I mean, in my little town of 1,175, there was 13 churches in that town. 13. A lot of churches. You say, what about some outside of town? And there was some outside of town. That was just in the city limits. We lived in the Bible Belt. Lots of churches. Lots of gospel tracts and preaching. But there are some places that, there's some ungodly places where there's not much. I mean, that's why sometimes people on the mission field talk about sending missionaries back to the United States. Because there's places here that, I mean, there are a lot of folks here that don't know how to get saved. Would, if someone told them, would, if someone explained it to them, they've never had anyone talk to them about Christ. Now, I don't know about you. I've had some Mormons knock on my door. I have never had a Baptist knock on my door in all the years I've lived in San Antonio. In the 37 years I lived in San Antonio, not one time. Now, again, it's not like everybody knows when they see my door that that's Brother Block from Liberty Baptist Church. We don't need to waste our time here. It's not like Texas Baptist or Leon Valley Baptist or some of these other Baptist churches. But I've never had one of them knock on my door. I've never had anyone present the gospel to me from another church. How many of you are in the same boat? You live in San Antonio all these years. You've never had someone other than the Mormon or Jehovah's Witness come to your door. That means there's a lot of folks that aren't getting reached by churches like ours, which means we have a great big job on our hands. By the way, a spiritual responsibility, something that we should do readily because, I mean, again, we owe God so much. It's such a little thing that we can do to go tell people about the love of God and warn them about the fires of hell. But again, Jude says there's two reasons people get saved. Some get saved because they hear about the love of God. Then he said, you know what? Some get saved because, well, they can smell that fire. They can feel that fire lapping at their feet. They don't want to go to hell. You and I must make sure that, and again, we probably got saved for one reason or the other. Maybe it wasn't given a full plan, but I mean, we got saved either because we understood the love of God or we were scared of going to hell. We want to make sure that we put that in our salvation plan so that when we're talking to people, they understand the love of God and they also understand the price they pay if they reject Christ's death on the cross and they get cast into hell. Now listen to me, I've had people say, oh, I can't believe a loving God would send someone to hell, and the loving God doesn't send anyone to hell. If a person goes to hell, it is a choice they make because the loving God made salvation available through His Son. But it's our job to go out and tell them about it so they know that. Now, if you're tonight and you cannot go back to a time and place you asked Christ to save you, we'd love to take the time tonight to show you from the Bible how to get saved. You might have came without Christ, but you don't have to leave without Christ. Father, we love you.